Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an incredible show for you today. We have five amazing guests, two returning guests, three new friends that we're going to meet today. So you know it's going to be fun. You know it's going to be interesting. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone in your circle, maybe in your house, maybe in the cubicle next door, but they need this information. Maybe they're getting ready to start out on their entrepreneurial journey. Maybe they've already started out. Maybe they've been in business for 5-15 years, but they want to take their business to the next level. We're going to learn from our guests today, and your network is not going to have the information unless you go ahead and share it. And like I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And today's show is especially you want to catch, it's brought to you by the Real Estate Playbook, a 100% educational workshop presented by real estate instructor Deborah Spence, with a simple promise to help you develop a clear plan to sell more homes and earn a consistent income selling real estate. It's an in-person and virtual event. The link is in the Facebook post, so go ahead and grab your tickets. And while you're doing that, I'll go ahead and introduce our first guest. You've seen her here before. We learned a lot. We laughed a lot. We shared her incredible journey, Miss Jen Drakes. Jen is a life advocate and accelerator. Leveraging her innate gifts of writing and speaking, she influences others to have a healthy sense of their worth and use that energy for purpose-driven actions that positively contribute to themselves and their communities. Her credentials and achievements demonstrate that she practices what she teaches. Jen is a mom to four young adults. Her book, Aladdin Carpets, released in January on Amazon. Her poetry can be found on Plumos.co. Good morning, Jen. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am fine. How are you doing?
I'm excited to learn more about you, who you are, what you do, and what you're passionate about.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to just hearing about the whole panel and having the discussion.
Okay, we'll have a discussion, but tell us about yourself.
So I was a closet writer. For many years, I wrote and I hid my writings. And I continued to do that, poetry, stories, and I instead went into corporate world. And really, only about 3 years ago, traveling on a highway, kind of had that epiphany of, you know what? I'm not growing and I'm not fulfilled. There's more I have to offer. There's much more I can do. And I did a major pivot. I walked away from the corporate world and started on a journey to become an author, to become a speaker, and to really use my natural talent, which is speaking, writing, and influencing. And even in my corporate world, I managed to capture tidbits of what I love, but I didn't love the whole thing. And because it had tidbits, I was able to do it for a long time, but then it reached, you reach a certain age and it's just no longer fulfilling. You can do it with your eyes closed and just looking for that challenge. So in 10 months, I went online, decided to jump into the virtual world. I created my own podcast. I wrote my book, got it published. And here I am. And my message, even in the book, is we need to stop living defined by others. We need to define ourselves, find our purpose, and truly, truly live against that purpose, because we were all born with a gift. Some were born with more than one gift, and it's up to us to truly, truly discover what that gift is, trust it, believe, and just take a blind faith and make it happen. Figure out how to make money out of your natural talent.
Because I love it.
How happiness comes out.
So I love it.
That's what I love. That's what I'm all about, is just guiding people on how to do that. And also how to just have that really healthy sense of worth and to put themselves first, some, you know, and then give others from that. Because once you fuel yourself, you actually have more fuel for others. But once you keep giving of yourself without refueling, all you're doing is depleting. It's just like pouring out an empty glass. And after a while, there's nothing left for you. And we do it when we raise our kids. And we do it, you know, we do it with all everybody around us. And it's time we stop that. Our kids will grow up and live their lives. And if you give every ounce of you to them, what do you have left for yourself? So
Absolutely. That's
my preaching, and I can preach about it for hours.
I know the feeling. When I get to preaching, I don't know when I'm going to stop. So I'm definitely on the same page with you. I am going to come back to you, Jen. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. He has been here before as well. We enjoy speaking with him, Mr. Curtis Partridge. Curtis has over 20 years of experience in corporate information technology with an emphasis on small to medium-sized business security. He is senior systems engineer from Orlando, Florida, Mr. Curtis Partridge. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for having me. And I appreciate the, it looks like a great group this morning. I appreciate the welcome back again. We are an information technology company, which is not the most exciting thing. Most people think we sell boxes with blinking lights, but we do it differently. We connect with clients on different levels than what most IT companies do. There was a movement about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, to move into remote support. And then our peers started bragging, I've never been to my client's site. Everything's remote. Well, what we figured out was that you can't help people that way, because people a lot of times don't realize where they're struggling with information technology. And so we actually go on site and spend time with our clients, much like we did in the old days, and still connect with them and find solutions for clients. And then we just offer exceptional service. We answer the phone in 10 to 12 seconds. You get a real live technician on the phone who can help you right then and there. We use technology that we can access their system instantly. So our big focus today is cybersecurity. And we have discovered that cybersecurity is teaching people how not to get into trouble online. And we actually have a series of emails that come out every week that aren't salesy. They're just simple 1, 2, maybe 3 paragraphs that we write up on how to protect yourself in this day and age with the threat of cybersecurity crime.
Wow, I love it. I definitely have to take a look. I want to go back to something you said, Curtis. You mentioned the in-person care. And prior to COVID, I was like, oh, that's wonderful. That's great. They come to our office. They work with us in person. But what have you been doing for basically the last year? And I know a lot of companies aren't going back to even, you know, offices. A lot of them will remain working virtually. So what have you seen?
So we're unique. Number one, we're in a unique part of the country. Florida is a little bit different. We actually did pull back and for 2 weeks did not go on customer sites. But then the phones rang and people said, hey, we haven't seen you. Where you guys been? And we actually were on site. Fortunately, none of our staff came down with COVID. We had a couple close calls. We had to quarantine a couple of them. But we have continued to service companies on site. We do see companies moving back into their offices. We talk to a lot of employees who are anxious to get back to the office. They're not enamored with working from home. So they're actually going back to the office. And many of our clients are desperately trying to hire right now. That is probably the biggest challenge, is finding personnel. And I know Rebecca is associated with the cooking and food, and a lot of our, about 70% of our clients are food processors. Food is a big business in Florida, between seafood and then serving the tourist industry. So they were nonstop. They had to push through and come up with technology. That was one of the coolest implementations we did, was that, you know, they were the first ones to have the ability to scan employees as they walked in the door and detect if somebody had an elevated temperature. And it was key to their success.
Wow. Wow. Now, Curtis, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead, especially since we mentioned Rebecca, I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the amazing Miss Rebecca Morgan. Rebecca is no stranger to the art of cooking, having over 8+ years of experience working in various restaurant settings and as a private chef. Her creativity has assisted her in fusing different types of cuisine, such as French, Mediterranean, Mexican, and Italian. Rebecca received her training at Le Cordon Bleu and graduated in 2012. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I was fine until I introduced you. Now I'm hungry. I wish you were virtual. I'm like, what did she bring me? I need something to taste.
I know, that's right. No, I appreciate being here. Again, my name is Rebecca Morgan. I guess you could say my work name is Chef Bella B. I'm a private personal chef. I do unique dinner parties and meal prep and clientele as such. I actually wanted to be an Olympic gold medalist track star is what I wanted to be. I ended my career by having a really bad sports injury, which was my ACL. And from having to be home, I actually, you know, I rolled into another passion, which was cooking. Mm-hmm. Started doing that, went to school, worked in restaurants. And I just, again, like she said earlier, Miss Jen, you just have this random epiphany to where you're just like, you know what? I understood that no one was gonna run a kitchen the way I run a kitchen unless it was my own. Mm-hmm. So I quit my job and I started my own business. And actually with COVID, as he said, it's actually, I think for the food industry, it's actually gone up. It's actually worked in my favor. A lot of my clientele has gone up. People are more prone to, you know, going out, getting an Airbnb and hiring a personal chef or a private chef for an event than going out into a restaurant. So, and here I am today.
Yes, here you are with us today. So let me pick that apart and ask all my favorite questions. I want to go back to when you mentioned your transition. I love when people make it sound like just so simple, so easy. Was there any fear in going, because you said you wanted to be a track star, you know, you wanted to be an athlete, and then you moved into cooking. What was that transition like for you? Did you feel afraid? Did you feel overwhelmed? Or did it just happen for you?
So my transition, obviously, it was in high school. So yeah, it definitely was devastating. Because I had trained most of my career or my high school life running track. So, you know, you have your heart set on something, that's what you want to do. And then kind of when it gets torn away, you're just like, nothing else, you know, as a teenager, nothing else. There's no other, I can't go on, you know, how am I supposed to go on? So it was a big transition, but with the support of my mom, you know, just reminding you, like, life does go on. There's more life to outside of this high school life that you got going on. So it was a scary transition. Didn't know if I was good at it. Didn't know if I was going to be good at it, you know? So it was pretty scary, but I got through it.
Definitely. So what are unique dinner parties?
So as a private chef, I provide all my own stuff. I provide my place settings, my centerpieces, my plating, obviously the food. So I do themed dinner parties where it's down to colors, where it's again, down to decorations. I do the whole shebang as a private chef, which is not very common when it comes to private chefs because it is a lot of hands-on stuff, but I just enjoy it. So, you know, If it's a Mexican theme, if it's an Italian theme, I set you up for the whole shebang. Candles, roses, flowers, whatever. So
your voice got all soft and romantic there for a minute. It was like,
you have to.
I'm like, that's whatever amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. I'm like interested. And a lot more people, I'm sure, were doing the meal prep. I mean, because for me, that's something that I'm considering. And I'm not going to mention the name, but I did order from a company online, and they send you like the ingredients for food to prepare meals. And I thought that was going to be cool. And so I received my package, and it was for a pizza. And I thought I was basically going to have to put the pizza in the oven. No, I even had to make the dough. So yes, when I got the box, I was like, this is not me. And I called and canceled immediately. But I'm interested in meal prep because I do a lot of Postmates and ordering because I'm busy. I don't take the time to cook. So tell me a little bit about the meal prep.
So with my meal prep, I try to make it to where cooking is not a chore. Mm-hmm. Okay. For most people, cooking is a chore. That's why it is very hard for people to stay on their fitness journey, because we hit that brick wall with food. You know, food is it's a very touchy subject for a lot of people. So my goal with my meal prep is to kind of the same thing. I want to teach you how to meal prep on your own, but I want to teach you in a way to where, yes, okay, I'm a mom too. I'm a mom. You may be a mom, you may also have a 9-to-5, but you may also have a lot of stuff going on. Sometimes it is time consuming. No one has 12 hours to sit there and meal prep for the whole week. So I just try to make it to where you can find fast, affordable, and healthy, you know, choices and cooking methods to where it's not a chore. It's actually fun. It's something that we can actually do with the kids, you know, where the kids can help. And that I see that it's been more successful in people actually wanting to eat better, eat cleaner, and actually meal prep for themselves.
That's what I want to do. I want to eat cleaner, lose some weight, get healthier, incorporate some vegetables, actually have a full meal. So definitely sounds like me. I am going to come back to you, Rebecca. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, and she is incredible, Miss Emily Thoreau-Threat. Emily is an author and lecturer with extensive personal experience in the grieving process. After coping with the deaths of her two husbands, father, mother, aunts, uncles, and many friends, she has learned to face life with love, optimism, and joy. In turn, she has created a unique program called Writing Your Way Through Grief to help others through the grieving process. Wow, I don't even know how you're still standing. Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Aloha. I am absolutely great. Loving my life right now. I have had the opportunity to move to Maui with my husband, who was ill at that time. And he'd lived here before I knew him, and he really wanted to be here for his last days. And so we just sold everything and moved from California to Maui. And I got to spend two wonderful years with him before he transitioned. And at that point, since he was the second husband I'd lost, and I'd retired from my job teaching writing at the university, I still teach an occasional online class there because I love to do that. But I wasn't really sure what I was supposed to do with the rest of my life. And I didn't know a lot of people here yet because I'd been mostly spending time with him. And so I spent a lot of time writing myself since I am a writer, and I've taught writing. I've written college textbooks, but I wanted to be more creative and wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. And then my husband's really dear friend was much younger than my husband. He used to call my husband Dad to show the age difference. And we were good friends with him and his family, and he just dropped dead one day.
Oh, wow.
And I was so concerned for his wife, and I wasn't there. We used to live just a couple blocks away when we were on the mainland. And I thought, I've got to help her. So I sat down and wrote all the things that she needed to think about at this time and the things that she didn't need to deal with at this time, because she wasn't prepared. You know, nobody at a young age like that anticipates that kind of event to happen. So she was so grateful for the things that I sent her, because she said nobody else talked to her about that stuff. Everybody else was shocked too, and were just kind of doing their own thing. And she really needed some support. So I thought, well, I can support her better than just that. So I decided to write her a card every week for the first year. And I made the cards with pictures that I took around the island here, and then put something in each one of them. I sat down and wrote everything that I put in those 52 cards in about 2 days, because I wanted to have a plan for it. And she let me know that they really helped her a lot. And I thought, as a writer, I have an outline already written. So I realized that what I really wanted to do was help other people deal with their grief. Because in searching for things for me to deal with my grief, it seemed like everything was sad. In the groups, people cried, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't what I was looking for. I wanted a way to find happiness, to see the light, essentially. So I wrote my book, and my book has not only writing prompts, but there's 26 chapters, and each one of them has something actively for the person to do after they read the chapter to help them deal with their grief. So it's really well received. I started teaching writing classes here on the island, and for people who are grieving or dealing with loss in general. And then when the pandemic came, we went online, and it's not just death that people are grieving now. There's lots of loss. So I have plenty to do, and I'm really happy to be bringing some joy and life back into people's lives.
Wow. So we're going to talk about that, and I appreciate everything that you're doing, but can you give us one strategy and one tip that helped you to get through the grieving process?
Well, a really big one for me was gratitude. Uh-huh. Now, a lot of people talk about gratitude nowadays, and I've been hearing them talk about toxic gratitude and how it's a Pollyanna thing and it doesn't really work. Well, it works. It really does when you're sincere and honest with it. And when somebody first told me about it, I thought, I don't have anything to be grateful for. I've had two husbands die, and I'm, you know, on this island where I don't know that many people, and what am I going to do? And I thought, I'll just try. So I started writing things I was grateful for, and I was amazed that even when I thought the world was at the end for me, I had a lot of things to be grateful for. And the more things that I wrote that I was grateful for, the more grateful I got and the more things I had to be grateful for. And it's the really life changer for me out of all the things that I recommend that people do. I can't say enough good things about realizing what you're grateful for.
Powerful. Now I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the amazing Miss Poppy Mavros. Poppy is co-owner of The Crooked Path, along with her husband, celebrity occult specialist, Sal Santoro. The Crooked Path is the leading traditional witchcraft store in Hollywood. Being that it is a small niche business, they have had to make many changes during COVID in order to keep their business moving forward. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me today. And I'm very grateful to meet all these wonderful people today.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome. So tell us about your store, The Crooked Path.
Well, it's a traditional witchcraft store. And it's such a scary word to a lot of people. So we usually, depending on the situation, we'll use the term metaphysical, because people are a little bit more comfortable with that. The idea of a new age store, crystals seem safe. They're not dangerous. And, you know, and sage is not bad, you know, so people tend to fear the term witchcraft. And we're here to educate people that it's actually not a scary thing. And it doesn't mean that just because you practice a certain way or you do a certain thing is going to alter your upbringing and whatever religious belief that you may have, and it's going to change everything. You're going to go, you're going to burn to hell, burn in hell or whatever. So ultimately, you know, we're here to help demystify the masses that you can do a lot with your own power and your own will, and it's not a dangerous or scary thing as people may think.
Are you nervous?
A little bit.
I mean, because it's one of those topics that can be controversial, especially with four other people sitting on the panel. You have some people who might freak out, some people who might want to, you know, pray for you. I don't know, but
it happens.
Yes, I can imagine.
I grew up in a, well, my immediate family is like, my dad's not religious, my mom is religious. And so I was actually very afraid to tell them about what we were doing. And my dad was like, so, but I have a lot of ultra religious family members that would be completely horrified to know, or they probably do know, I don't know. They're all in Canada and I'm sure they have stumbled upon things, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, ultimately it is a very taboo subject, and we do get a lot of people that come into the store and try to pontificate why we're bad, and we welcome conversations, and you know, we're here to have a sit down conversation. We used to do this before COVID. We used to do a weekly meeting. Basically, it was a free event, basically, for people to come into the shop and talk about things, ask questions, share knowledge, and we actually had Christians come in and sit with us, just because they wanted to learn more. And all of a sudden, what ends up happening is people are less threatened by the idea of lighting a candle or using nature's herbs to help empower you to create, to manifest change in your life. But yeah, it's interesting to say the least. But I think living in Los Angeles, it allows us to have a platform that you probably wouldn't have in a smaller city. People are way more open and willing to learn here. And I definitely appreciate that. And I feel like I live in a bubble.
I know a lot of people who are, you know, metaphysical. So, or a lot of people start to call it spiritual, new age. Mm-hmm. I mean, the different terms. So I guess my question would be, and this is not a judgment, but do you feel, because we talked about the terms and I'm big on semantics, that it would be an easier process if you like, because it feels like to me, and this is just me, again, no judgment, that you want the term witchcraft to be out there. Like you're like, it's witchcraft. That's the way it is. And that's what it is, you know, as opposed to people who will say, okay, well, it's meditation, you know, it's healing, it's, you know, crystals, which seems, like you said earlier, to have more of a, okay, I can work with that type of appeal. Whereas witchcraft over the years, and just because of the type of practice, people tend to believe witchcraft is trying to force something upon other people. I'm about to put a spell on you. Whereas metaphysical people look at it like, I'm just focusing on me. I'm trying to heal me. I'm meditating on me. Does that question make sense?
Absolutely. So there are many facets to a metaphysical umbrella. And when you're thinking about the term metaphysical, yeah, it could be spiritual. It could be all about meditation. So I know a lot of people that practice daily meditation, and I would never consider them to be anything but like a Buddhist or a Christian or whoever, and they do their thing on a daily basis. When we talk about witchcraft, and we again want to make sure that people feel comfortable talking about witchcraft or spellcrafting, it doesn't mean that you're an evil person. You're ultimately using the tools that the earth has given you to manifest change. So we heavily talk about planetary magic. Planetary magic has been around since ancient times. There was a Greek philosopher, Ptolemy, that believed that the ancient planets, which include the sun and the moon, because that was visible from the earth, that the energies of these planets could had different properties and energies that could enhance certain things in your life. And so we essentially are using those same principles that have been used for thousands of years, and ultimately just try to enhance our own lives. And you know, we're not manipulating people were enhancing or boosting basically directions that we want to take our own lives. Mm-hmm. Which that makes sense. You could say the same thing about meditation, right? You're meditating to clear your head, to make yourself feel better, to reduce blood pressure. So you're using these tools to help yourself be better.
Okay, makes sense. Jen, what are your thoughts so far on the conversation?
Well, I'm once again, as you said, it's the second time on the show, and I'm once again floored by some of the synergies that I'm hearing in all of the different stories. Like related to Emily, one of the things that I do anytime I go to a funeral, Emily, is I am always the only one with a book, because I sit and I write out as the eulogy and the whole thing is going on. I write out about the person and my memories and all of that of the person. And it absolutely changes it from a mournful experience into a joyful experience. And I always get looked at because, Sharifa, I don't know if you'd relate, I come from a West Indian background. So you can imagine the elderlies giving me the look.
Like, why are you writing at the funeral?
Yeah, exactly, as I'm sitting there writing. But then they came over the years, because I've done it, enough times, they've come to appreciate Jen shows up with her book and I write throughout the whole. So I get Emily. And for Rebecca, the question that I had is, even though she had to do a transition, do you find that food or meal preparation or cooking was always in your life?
Yeah.
It wasn't really thrown on you. It was throughout your life. So in my book, when I talk, I always say to people, when you're looking for that purpose that lights you up, stop for a minute and say, what was always in your life that sparked you, that you enjoyed going to and you didn't mind? And just the whole aspect of making cooking delightful. Like, my kids were in the kitchen at 6 years old. And to this day, they are young adults. And that is where we enjoy, is being in the kitchen and preparing meals together, especially one of them really loves it. And we just have a great time preparing, we make our own pasta, make our own pizza dough, things of that. And we just enjoy that piece of our lives. So I sit here and I was just smiling as I heard all the different stories. Curtis, the career I talked about leaving behind was in technology and projects. So I get you. And Poppy, about, it's interesting as you talk about, I agree with Sharifa that when you said the word witchcraft, even I had a reaction. But when you talked about metaphysical, I was more prone. So and that actually surprised me, because I'm very open to new things. I'm very open to new experiences. And the ability, I do truly believe we have the ability to heal ourselves. But we have to raise all of the things in us that do that, the serotonins, the dopamines. We have to do all of that. And we actually have an innate power to heal ourselves if we choose. And so I get you. but you showed me something of growth that I need. Because when you said the word, I had that religious, because I grew mm-hmm. up in a religious. So that surprised me. I didn't like it. I want to be very, very clear. I didn't like that reaction. And I didn't expect that reaction, but I did have a reaction. So I'm not gonna, so I just think that there's such synergy, and I'm enthused to see how the discussions unfold. In my book, I talk about something, and I think that hopefully the whole panel, I talk about what I call the G to the power of two attitude. Mm-hmm. And that one of the G's is about two G's. And guess what one of them is, Emily? Gratitude. I could not live my life without waking up every morning. One of the best times of the morning I love is sunrises. And getting up and watching a sunrise, I am always thinking and writing about what I'm grateful for. And I can't imagine living a life without that. And right. I truly believe that if you practice gratitude, you create grace. And bring all the things we saw in Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, that is grace. You exude grace and then you enhance your rhythm into the universe. So when you meet people, people feel the rhythm of your grace because you're driven by gratitude. And I write that in my book, Aladdin Carpet. So Emily, I was so, you saw me probably not in my head as you talked about it. It is phenomenal. It changes your mindset. It changes your perspective. You don't think of lack. You think of what you have.
Absolutely.
It changes your life, definitely, for sure.
So Poppy, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I love you. I love it. I love the feedback. I just wanted to hear what Poppy thought about your thoughts.
I am grateful for your for your honesty. It is a very scary topic. And, you know, it's interesting to have those conversations and to understand what is that fear. I too had the fear. I was oblivious to this world. And until I met my husband, he kind of introduced me to all of this. And I was so like, oh my God, it's just so scary. Like, what is this? And he was the one that kind of broke it down for me. And this has now been several years. So it was like peeling the onion. It was one layer at a time. And like, okay, yes. This isn't so bad. And just to kind of give an idea too, my sister, who she wanted, she was trying to have something happen in her life. And she's like, do you think if I did a candle that would help? I'm like, sure. And she's like, but I don't want to alter things. I'm like, well, you're not altering, you're boosting things. And she definitely had a different understanding and feel for it. So I think as you slowly start to have this conversation with people one at a time, it helps. And ultimately, all cultures have some version of this. And that's the beauty of it. And that's what we see in our own shop. Like, we have everybody, all walks of life, come in. And they could be wearing different symbols on their necks, but they all have the interest in learning something different that will help them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, I'm sorry, Curtis, were you going to say something?
I was just going to mention that you had indicated that you thought it was easier in a larger city like LA, but we actually have a little town here in Florida called Casadega. It's about 30 miles north of Orlando. Yep. It's a spiritualist community.
Yes.
And it's funny, I've lived in Orlando for 30 years and I've known a number of people over the years that kind of reached the end of their rope as far as I'm not finding the answers I'm looking for. They'll drive up to Casadega on a Saturday and reach out and not only, I guess, just being in that community and being surrounded by those folks and then having, you know, engaging with them, help them. It really does.
Absolutely.
No, Rebecca, you were nodding away. I've been seeing you nod for 40 minutes. So, what are your thoughts on the conversation?
Well, I come from where my grandmother, of course, was Baptist. You know, she was always in the church. But my mom and my grandpa weren't really. My mom's never been about, she's never been very religious. She's always been very open, very free-spirited, as people would say. So very spiritual. Always told us, if you're going to believe or follow something, believe it and follow it for yourself. Don't believe it and follow it because someone told you to. And not only that, but she also minored in religious studies. So learning and being exposed to different cultures, you start to realize that we're all trying to get up the same river.
Okay?
We're all trying to get up the same river. It's just that everybody's getting up that river differently. You have some people on the side of the river that are hiking up the river. Some are in a canoe, some are in a boat, some are swimming, maybe some, you know, it's just, we're all trying to get to the same spot. And when you break it down, all the religions, all practices go to the same thing, and it's love. That's all we want you to do. It's just practice love, practice kindness, and not only love for others, but most importantly for yourself. So I think it's interesting. I never really been afraid of the word witchcraft. I think just because of my upbringing, But yes, I think it is very scary, especially in the society. Society kind of gives certain things, you know, certain stigmas. I think once you start to really do the work for yourself, you start to break those stigmas for yourself.
And like, right. I grew up in the church as well, like twice on Sunday, you know, right. And in my later years, I do not consider myself religious at all. I'm definitely spiritually based, so I get it. But there's still, because I was young, you were young, there's still certain imprints. And I'll give you an example. Halloween. My mom allowed me to go out and do Halloween, but she doesn't believe in it at all, but she at least allowed us to do it. So I grew up with that like two viewpoints, but at least she allowed us to go and enjoy it. And I raised my kids going out and enjoy it. But if you go talking to someone very, very religious, they will not have their kids doing Halloween. So it's not that I'm opposed necessarily to the word witchcraft. I was just shocked that even now, even with all that spiritual thinking, some of that religious aspect still there to give me that, where I just had a reaction.
Right.
But I'm open to it. But I'm just, I was shocked that I like, when she said it, and I had that kind of mental, because I'm so in tune with my neurons that I get when I get that kind of stuff, because it's a throwback, right? So what it told me is I need to grow still. I still have some cleaning up to do.
Yeah. I don't think it was just you, Jen. I think, you know, because I'm very big. Okay. No, it wasn't just you, because that was part of my question, because I'm very big on semantics. And one of the, I'm a third generation tarot reader. Okay. So I'm in this world. My family does everything based on astrology. You know, they got to know everybody's sign you're dealing with. So I'm in this world. You know, it just struck me, you know, because it seemed to me there would have been an easier way to get in the door, you know. And to me, that easier way is spirituality and metaphysical, because for most people, it can be, what's the word for it? You know, replaceable, that they can use, interchangeable, right, is the word that I'm using. So when you make a conscious choice to say, no, this is what I want to call it, this is what it is, some people will have that effect. And again, it may be an easier way, but some people, you know, it's a choice. That's why we have this conversation. Emily, you've been quiet and so polite over there. I always tell people, if you're quiet and polite on the Roundtable Talk Show, you might not get a word in. What are your thoughts so far, Emily?
Well, what's been coming to me through this is how much we all have in common. Mm-hmm. That it seems like we're all so different when you just look at a description of each of us, but we really have a lot in common. We seem to basically function on gratitude and love. And when everybody does that, the world's a better place. And I think that's my focus in life, is helping people find happiness and joy through focusing on gratitude and love. And that's who we are right now in this group, and it feels really good. I love to learn about different people and their different perspectives and what they do, yet they all seem to go back to the same core.
Yes, absolutely. It's a great group, and it's always a common theme. But Emily, I know, because we kind of moved into talking about witchcraft and metaphysical, but I also know that when people are grieving, that is probably one of the main times when they start looking for those answers. And I don't know, and where does my loved one go? They kind of turn to that. Have you had that experience, Emily?
It's a big question that people ask. And that's one of the advantages in writing about your grief, because when you start exploring things in writing, it's different, because you can kind of get your ideas out of your head and see what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And you can see which direction you'd like to go, and who you would like to get more information from, what you want to learn more about that can help you in that. But there are things that we can all do that we might not put in like the metaphysical realm, or something that we think is out of what we would consider, I hate to use this word, but normal for ourselves. It's out of our frame of reference. But an exercise that my people really like to do when they're writing is to write a letter to their loved one. It's a time that they can really tell them anything that they didn't get to tell them, or tell them what they're feeling now, and doing that. And when they get to the end of that, then I ask them to immediately write a letter back to themselves from their loved one.
Right.
And that's a really powerful exercise. And sometimes I'll get resistance. I don't know what they'd say. Well, just write and see. And they're usually pretty surprised. So there's a lot of things I think that we're holding in our heart and in our head that we know already. And we discover when we write about it. And again, it ties us back to our commonality and what we need, what we want, and that searching that you were mentioning when somebody dies. Where are they, you know? And yeah. What am I going to do? How can I survive without them? But you don't have to. They're still in your heart.
Powerful.
That's one of the things about death is it stops you. And then you're left with your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the same when we think about it. It's the same thing COVID did for us. Mm-hmm. COVID stopped us. And then we were left with our own thoughts. And for me, those are times to grow. Those are actually, and writers, as you, Emily, we live in our head, like we use our head a lot, right? And we take things out of our head and put it on paper. So we get a release as authors. We get to release some of the things going through our heads, and we get to analyze our heads a little bit more than perhaps the everyday person that's caught in a routine, right? Getting going to work. But COVID suddenly stopped us all.
Right.
And we suddenly had to look at ourselves and go, okay, why am I feeling this way? I miss work. Or, oh my God, that didn't actually make me feel good. Why was I doing that routine? Yeah. I didn't like it. Yeah. So there was a lot of self-realization that happened as a result of COVID. And I will always thank COVID for that. Mm-hmm. I will always be thankful for COVID for that.
I always say the same thing. Exactly. I always say for a lot of people, would say 2020 was probably the worst year that they've ever had. And I always tell people, you know what, even with losing my job, getting, you know, losing a lot of things, I will always thank 2020 because it took this veil, you know, off, like just took this veil from in front of my face. And it made me realize that I'm capable. I'm more capable than I've actually been telling myself. You know what I mean? And like you said, it makes you sit down with your thoughts. You're forced to sit there and look at yourself and say, hey, hello.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. Exactly. Let's do this. And I think death does the same thing. Death is the only reference we have with people that as humans is the physical. That's how you know someone is their physical. So when someone dies, it's hard for you to kind of compute because they are no longer physically here. Even though they're always, I know people think it's cliche when people are like, oh, they'll always be with you. Their spirit is always, but it's true. They'll always be with you. They never leave you. It's just now you have to learn and kind of tap into a different realm to access that person or access that energy because it's no longer in the physical.
Yeah. So you, Rebecca, I see you.
Yeah.
Hope you're over here smiling because Rebecca had that cold. She said you have to tap into it. So how do you tap into it, Poppy? She said, so which
one? The biggest thing that we do in our world is, it's ancestral altars. So you create a small little shrine and it could be a shelf. I have it on my kitchen windowsill. Like I have a little spot, it's like a triangle. And I am fortunate that I've only had my grandparents pass and my beloved pup. And so there they are, they're in photographs, and you could do simple things like lighting a candle in their honor, having a cup of water. Sometimes I pour coffee for my grandparents because they love their coffee. I'll put little dog treats for my pup that passed. And it's just a way to honor them. And there's a continuation of having that communication with them, even though they're not here. But I think that they're here because I mean, I don't feel or hear anything. Like I don't have those sort of powers, but I do believe that they're constantly with me and they show up in dreams. And, you know, there are ways that they make appearances, or I'll have like a, a psychic read me, and they'll say, "Grandma's with you." Yeah. So there are things, or my pup, like she used to be, I used to be in corporate world too. So I used to take her to corporate world with me, and then she was my shop dog. And those that can see have seen her after she's passed. So it's like they exist, they're there.
Oh, wow, interesting. Curtis, have you ever had an experience like that?
I was thinking about this and how things did change with COVID. The thing that has intrigued me the most, I find it in myself and I see it in social media with my friends, is that I think we realized how important it is to build those memories so that we have those in our data bank when we move forward in remembering these relationships that we've had, you know, and I see people really getting out and engaging in experiences, no matter what it takes for them to do it. Because they want to, I think they missed building those memories because they realized how important it, you know, when we got into COVID, once you kind of ran through Tiger King, what else did you have? To think about, you know, the memories of the good days, you know, when you could go out, you could have those experiences with friends and family.
Right. Yes, and it makes you grateful. I think that's the word for today, just gratitude and being grateful just to be here, just to have another day. And one of the things that I am grateful for is for all of you here today on the Roundtable Talk Show. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Emily.
Oh, I would love for you to focus on love, to let go of fear. There's only two real emotions, love and fear. And when you can release that fear, you'll be amazed at the love you can experience and the happiness that you can have in your life. And that's what life is all about.
And if they're interested in picking up a copy of your book,
you can get it any place where books are sold. The name of the book is Loving and Living Your Way Through Grief. And that's also my website, lovingandlivingyourwaythroughgrief.com. I offer a free weekly Zoom writing class if you're interested in that. And I have a weekly blog. So there's all kinds of ways you can connect with me. And there's a contact on my website also. I'd be happy to hear from you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Rebecca, what do you have for us?
You know, same thing. Live and love. That's it. Just be kind, not only to others, but most importantly, be kind to yourself. And if you are out there wanting to do something that you love or you're passionate or you enjoy to do, just do it. Take that first step, take that first seminar, write that first book, write that first page, you know, get that LLC and just do it. I have a website, www.chefbellabkitchen.com. I also have a spice and sauce line if you would love to purchase from me, book with me, and thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Curtis, what do you have for us?
So, you know, we all keep our memories here, which are actually in the cloud somewhere, but, you know, it's important, you know, now that we've moved everything digitally to protect our digital selves and our digital world. And so my wife and I put together every week a cybersecurity tip. And these are very straightforward, just small reminders, one, two, maybe three paragraphs. The cool thing is they come from my wife. And if you actually reply, she reads those. So if you have a question, say, well, how do I do this? She'll answer you. She loves interacting with people. If it's something more technical, she'll shoot it over to me and we'll collaborate on a response. But our website is lotusbusinesstech.com. You don't have to, you know, even though we do serve businesses, you know, we don't mind individuals signing up and learning as well. We want to teach everybody how to protect themselves and their memories and their digital assets.
Wow, that is powerful. I might have to come up with a question just so I can talk to your wife and see what she knows about IT. Thank you, Curtis.
Thanks.
Jen, what do you have for us?
I would like everyone to truly focus on themselves and grow themselves and give themselves love. I'm like everyone, lead with love and gratitude, but spend some time giving some of the energy back to yourself. I'm not asking you to do it 100%, but take a portion for yourself and love yourself. And just read my book, Aladdin Carpets, is on Amazon. It's in ebook and paperback form. So you can grab a copy there. I'm also hosting book reading soirees, and you can go to jendrakes.com/choose-your-date, and you can book in for a book reading soiree as well. And I read a chapter of the book, and we have open discussion on the concepts. So that would be what I would ask, but please give some love back to yourself.
Thank you, Jen. Now, Hopi, how you feeling? How'd the conversation go? You feeling less nervous?
I'm feeling good. The one thing I want to share is something that my dad said to me, and this was, when I embarked on this in my new journey after leaving the corporate world. I was, I invested my own money into starting something new. And I said, Dad, I invested $20,000. And he's like, if you don't try, you won't find out if you can succeed. And I think there's a theme across the board here, right? Whether it's writing a book or starting a new business or whatever it might be, if you don't try, you won't know. And so that's what I like to impart to everybody today. If you don't try, you won't succeed. In the meantime, if you want to find us, we're at thecricketpathshop.com, or you can follow us on Instagram, thecricketpathshop_LA, or visit us in Burbank. We're in the Magnolia District.
Fantastic. Thank you. This has been yet another incredible show. It went in a direction I wasn't expecting, but I'm never expecting the direction it goes in. We just sit, talk, and have a wonderful conversation. So I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the show live doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show. And as always, don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. I definitely appreciate that. But I ask that you support our guests. Our guests are here this morning to support you, to give you their journey, their advice, their stories, their processes, right? So support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post. But again, don't just follow, go to their websites, follow them on social media, reach out to them, send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.